Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also editor of PWTorch.com, MMATorch.com, and the newly revamped PWPodcasts.com, featuring detailed written recaps of top pro wrestling podcasts hosted by top wrestling personalities such as Edge and Christian, Chris Jericho, and many more, along with newsworthy quotes from other wrestler interviews on podcasts throughout the whole podcast universe. Is that what we call it? So check that out if you haven't yet, pwpodcasts.com. A lot of cool stuff up on the site over the past few days, including earlier today, a full recap of the latest Edge and Christian podcast featuring, I don't know how they got this guest, but Beth Phoenix joined them. And they talked about a surprise at WrestleMania, thoughts on whether Undertaker will wrestle again, and more. Also, full recap of Talk is Jericho featuring Kurt Angle. And also, a news story on a podcast interview with Kane talking about his decision to run for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, and a timely story, Rich Brennan talking about JBL, working with JBL as an announcer, JBL violating all the announcer rules, and more. So much to talk about on today's program, and so we're going to shift to that now. The superstar shakeup, I believe, has now reached its completion. And Kevin Owens, as we kind of expected and anticipated yesterday, now a SmackDown wrestler. Sami Zayn, now a SmackDown roster member. Oh, good. Maybe we can finally have that dream match. Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn that we've been waiting for. Charlotte, now a SmackDown wrestler. And Tamina also added to the women's division. Sin Cara, Primo and Epico. Aiden English. Wait, was he on SmackDown already? I don't even know. And Jinder Mahal. And Rusev and Lana round out all the additions to the SmackDown roster with three exceptions. The last announcement, and boy, was Byron Saxton happy about this, The New Day coming to SmackDown. So it's going to be interesting. I haven't seen just a list of the names next to each other to kind of compare and try to formulate. I was trying to do this last night on the VIP Wade Keller Hotline. Like, who was traded for whom? Kurt Hawkins for Jinder Mahal? Probably. That kind of thing. So it'll be fun to do that. We'll have a lot to talk about, not only at today's post-SmackDown edition of the live cast, but also tomorrow at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific time on the PW Torch live cast midweek flagship. Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell joins me for that program, a rare midweek appearance for the senior columnist Bruce Mitchell. So I look forward to having him on the show, and we'll recap the whole shakeup of the superstars on Raw and SmackDown. But first things first, we're here to talk to you. Our phone number, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We can talk about tonight's episode of SmackDown and the larger issue of the whole superstar shakedown, now that it is apparently complete. I mean, we say apparently because, I mean, maybe there'll be some surprise edition announced on WWE.com. We went off the air with Raw last night. After Raw went off the air last night, Byron Saxton and David Otunga were traded. So I guess there's a chance that we'll find out more trades. Lot to talk about. We had Shinsuke Nakamura, besides the superstar shakeup, Shinsuke Nakamura and Ty Dillinger making their second appearances. Ty getting a win over Jinder Mahal, and Shinsuke Nakamura getting some psychological intimidation on Dolph Ziggler So I think we're going to get some Dolph Ziggler Shinsuke matches, which is a fine way to start Shinsuke's run in WWE on the main roster. You know, give him somebody he can have a good match with and somebody he can definitively defeat. I did not love everything about the show. There's some good and some things worthy of a little further examination of whether it is helpful or as stupendous as Byron Saxton feels everything is in the world. One of those is the confusion with wrestlers jumping to a new show or being traded to a new show, yet still wrestling four titles based on that show. It got a little convoluted when Daniel Bryan explained that Chris Jericho will still get a U.S. title shot against Kevin Owens. Whoever wins that match will be a SmackDown wrestler. And I'm assuming Kevin Owens wins and Jericho remains a Raw wrestler. But we kind of have to wrap our brain around that. And then also Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton still having their House of Horrors match. And even though Bray is a Raw wrestler, and I just think nobody thinks, unless they announce tonight that Brock Lesnar has been traded to SmackDown and along with Universal title, nobody's going to think that Bray's going to beat Randy and take the WWE championship with him to Raw. You know, that's just, no one's going to believe that. So it takes some of the quote suspense away from that. So a little bit convoluted there. We did, by the way, and one more talking point for this show, to kind of set up our phone calls and our discussion the rest of the hour here, JBL, a toned down version of JBL. Apparently there were some fire JBL chants at SmackDown. He was a kinder, gentler, less, pick your adjective. There's many of them out there, less of a jerk throughout the show, to whether it was to James Ellsworth or Byron Saxton. He was all smiles. He was chuckling. He even liked it when Mojo Rawley took his cowboy hat and put it on and danced on the desk right in front of JBL, and he was having a knee slap at good time. So JBL, who plays a heel on TV, really toned down his heelishness on today's program. So no, I was kind of expecting maybe defiance in that he was going to be, you know, a bully, but show that, you know, everybody else sees what fun it is. And it's all part of the fun. It's all part of passion to be a bully, because it's just a role he plays and everybody's in on it together, wink, nod. But instead, we actually saw the opposite of defiance. I think we saw some concessions there. So fascinating show on a number of fronts. There's a lot I haven't brought up that happened on the program, and we will get into that as tonight's PW Torch livecast progresses. But first, let's just go ahead and begin with some phone calls and get the conversation rolling with you guys. Again, 515-605-9345. You can also email gmail.com if you have questions or comments on SmackDown. I'm in particular interested if you think SmackDown or Raw got the better end of all the trades. And it's going to take me a little more time to kind of assess everything and come up with a solid conclusion. I don't think things are that different. So I think it'll be a relatively close call as far as that goes. But Shane McMahon framing the acquisition of Charlotte as the biggest acquisition of the superstar shakeup. And he might be right. We'll see how that goes. All right, so I mentioned tomorrow Bruce Mitchell joins me for the midweek flagship at 1 Eastern. Thursday, Justin Roberts, whose autobiography, Best Seat in the House, Your Backstage Pass Through My WWE Journey. That book is out, and people are loving it. I think it's fascinating and really, really good read. Should order one and read it. But we'll have him on the live cast on Thursday for a long-form interview. He was on last year. It was one of our most listened-to interviews of the year. Very revealing interview from him about life in WWE from the ring announcer position. Amazing stories, some kind of tough to read, given how he was treated at times. Others just a window into dealing with the landmines that exist when you work for WWE and you're not handed a rule book or a guidebook and you find yourself violating rules that you didn't even know existed. And sometimes you get in trouble for following specific instructions that you were given by your superiors, all kinds of specific stories. And we'll talk to Justin about the highs and the lows, some of his favorite memories and some of the things that, you know, are kind of dark clouds on that experience. That'll be on Thursday's live cast. JTG from Crime Time join me on last Thursday's episode of the live cast on Interview Thursday. That, of course, is available on demand through iTunes and on Stitcher and any other popular podcast app for iPhone and Android, and also at our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. I get sometimes people ask, they email, they tweet, you know, when is the next show on? When can I call in? When is the show live? All of those answers are at a very nicely laid out, intuitively laid out, easy to find website, pwtorchlivecast.com. And you can always see when the next show is scheduled on our grid at the top of the page. And it also gives you a chance to listen to shows on demand and also find the phone number to call the show. So if you ever have questions, I mean, I certainly am fine answering email and questions on Twitter. But if you're looking for quick answers, they're all there as far as this show goes at pwtorchlivecast.com. Let's go to our first caller of the show and begin in Greensboro, North Carolina with Ian. Ian, thank you for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually still watching SmackDown. I'm only at the Shinsuke segment now. I haven't gotten to the New Day segment yet. But I've just got two quick comments and
a
question.
Do you want us to wait? We can just pause the show.
No. Okay. It's fine.
Okay, good.
First, I heard a lot of people saying that they don't like the superstar shakeup, quote-unquote, like they prefer the draft. I actually really like the shakeup because it kind of gives you that same feeling as like the post-Mania NXT call-ups, like seeing somebody just surprise show up on the show. Like, I really like that aspect as opposed to it being a draft.
I do too. I think there might be a happy medium between the two, in the sense that I wish that they were more specific about who was traded for whom. And I know that they are trying to maybe, well, I shouldn't say no, but I think they're trying to avoid hurt feelings, you know, like classifying everybody. It's why top contender lists in pro wrestling usually don't last, because people get upset when they're like, why is he two spots ahead of me? I'm a bigger deal than him. I get paid more than him. I've been around longer than him. So they don't like to do that kind of thing. But what, since when do they care? Since when does WWE care about those types of feelings? I want to know that Jinder Mahal got traded for Heath Slater. I want to know Kevin Owens got traded straight up for Dean Ambrose. Like, match them up. Give us a little bit more detail so we can kind of it's a discussion starter too for fans. So that's a criticism, and I just think they could have been more clear with viewers how this worked. I think they were clear, but I think you just had, there was scattered information as far as how this all went down, and just kind of announcers saying so in passing. So anyway, those are just some interjected thoughts on things I think they could do better, but I do like this better than just the random, you know, like game show faces going boop, 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 boop on the screen, and then suddenly a name shows up, and now he's a new SmackDown guy. I thought that was stupid. I give this a thumbs up, but I think it could be tweaked next time.
Yeah, my second comment is actually about last night. I didn't get to call in, but Braun Strowman just became the biggest babyface in the company, and that was awesome.
I think he's going to get huge pops everywhere he goes now. You are right.
Yeah. So my question is actually, why do we as fans continue to put up with things that we don't like? Like, we constantly have complaints about WWE as far as, like, whether it be bad booking or just, you know, Vince being tone deaf or, you know, this and that. We're never happy. Well, I would say the first four stars, it's still enjoyable, but like, we're continuing to give them money. We're paying for the network. We're going to shows. We're not really, you know, telling them with our dollars how we feel. We're just feeding into it. I actually, you know, give props for Aubrey Sitterson on his podcast, like actively refusing to cover WWE anymore. Like, we don't really do that. And so they're never going to listen to us because we're still giving them money.
Well, first of all, a lot of people aren't. So, I mean, in a sense, and I mean this in all kindness, speak for yourself. And what I mean by that, Ian, is there's a lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are not part of the 2.5 million network subscribers that WWE projected they would or hoped they would have by now. You know, there are a lot of people, like the 10 to 20% who were watching SmackDown and Raw last year live on Monday and Tuesday nights. Well, Thursday, whatever it was. But you know what I mean? Where they were watching on SmackDown. And they are now, actually, SmackDown ratings are up. So I got to be more specific and accurate than that, because moving to USA Network live on Tuesdays with exclusive use of John Cena and AJ Styles has helped them. But Raw, apples to apples comparison, they're down. That's people speaking. That said, I don't think, you know, I gave Shawn Michaels a hard time many years ago when he goes, America, love it or leave it. And I'm like, no, if everybody left America who wanted women to vote or wanted to end slavery, or, you know, I mean, wanted, you know, pollution control, whatever, the country wouldn't be in a better place. It'd be in a worse place. So I don't think stopping covering or even stopping supporting WWE is always the answer. I think there's nuance that you can have, and you can make choices. Maybe you spend your money less freely. Maybe you're less likely to buy the merchandise. Maybe there's other ways to do that. But I don't think it's a binary choice. If you talk about them or go to the show, that means you're endorsing everything they do. I admire the fans who go to shows and, within reason, not disrespecting wrestlers in the ring, but picking the right times, express praise for wrestlers that they like and reject pushes or matches or announcers who they're against. So I think there's a lot of different ways to do it, but do not fool yourself. WWE would be in a better place, I think, if they did a lot of the things that we talk about here on the show with callers better. And so WWE does pay a price, but everybody has a different breakpoint.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, you obviously have a passion for the sport, and else you wouldn't be covering it. But it's also your job. So have you ever been in a situation where, like, you kind of dread doing it? Like, it's your job, so you have to cover it, but you're also, like, in this place where you don't really want to because it's frustrating you. Like, are you able to, maintain that enthusiasm?
I think there have been times with – I think about like the John Laurinaitis mid-2000 SmackDown era where if I had to see another Heidenreich or Kenzo Suzuki match, you know, like as part of my job, I was just like, there was nothing. It wasn't good. It was just boring. It wasn't controversial. Like Roman Reigns is fun to talk about because I have strong feelings about it. A lot of people do. But he's, you know, really talented. He's just miscast. And so that's fun to talk about. Heidenreich, Kenzo, just bad hiring practices with long, boring, uninspired matches. No, that's not good. The end of WCW, especially, you know, Thunder, but even a lot of those Nitros at the end, those were tough. I mean, those were tough shows to cover. They were awful. I mean, they were just so awful. It was this dying company. So there's been times like that, but otherwise, no. I mean, my job is not, enjoying doing my job is not predicated on thinking I'm seeing the best wrestling that WWE or anybody could be presenting at the moment. My job, what makes my job enjoyable all the time, almost all the time, is trying to figure out why are they doing what they're doing? Is it working? And what do I think would improve it? And what do other people think would improve it to make things better? And that's just an ongoing thing. But I mean, there's always performances in the ring, on the microphone, angles that keep things interesting. And I mean, there's something new around every corner. So, I mean, the authority in the Daniel Bryan thing, you know, a few years ago, that was frustrating. I had a lot of rants, but I feel like having an outlet to express that is a lot more gratifying than because I have a voice and I think a show like this and Twitter and, emailing WWE and voicing your thoughts at live events are all different ways people deal with it. But the fact is that some people do tune out. You know, there's a lot of things out there competing for your entertainment. WWE can't expect people to just eat what they're fed and smile and say thank you to everything that they do. And I think they're kind of learning the hard way in this era that if that ever existed, it certainly doesn't now. Anything else, Ian?
No, thank you so much for your insight. You have a great night.
Excellent. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Interesting conversation there. Thanks, Ian. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. All right, we're back. This is the PW Torch livecast. I'm Wade Keller, host of the program Monday through Thursday. Thursday night, Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak will be back with a live post-Impact Wrestling episode of the livecast. As soon as Impact goes off the air, you can voice your pleasure and displeasure your approval and disapproval with what you just saw on the Pop TV broadcast of Impact Wrestling. And they welcome your phone calls and your emails too. And then Friday, it'll be Primetime Friday with Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan, 7 o'clock, Primetime Friday, a chance for some of you who listen to this show on delay, because it's either on too late or too early to fit your schedule. Friday's Primetime, 7 Eastern, gives you a chance to participate in the show and and join in the discussion. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And up next, let's see here. Let's go to get reorganized here. Let's go to Danny in Long Island next. Danny, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
How are you? How are you, Wade? Good evening.
Good evening. I'm doing well.
Good. I feel like I'm more confused after the shakeup than before the shakeup.
And why is that?
First off, I think the biggest loser of the whole shakeup has to be Bray Wyatt. I see a lose-lose situation for him either way. Either way, he goes into this match with Randy Orton, and he's going to lose because he's not bringing the title to Raw because of the Universal title and Brock Lesnar.
Right.
So, with the match, how it went at WrestleMania, with his whole title reign, I feel like they gave him an opportunity, they saw what he could do, and then they just pulled the leash back.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that I didn't think that Bray Wyatt was going to be a long-term world champion. I mean, I think that they came up with a storyline to get them to WrestleMania, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Bray is about where anybody should have expected him to be, including him and Vince McMahon. I don't think this is some sign that they lost faith in him, that he's going to be on Raw feuding with Finn Balor. I think he still seems like he's being prominently featured. I think he's the only guy right now on both shows, you know, this week, doing prominent, setting up feuds. I mean, some people moved from Raw to SmackDown, but Bray's the only guy who kind of has issues going on both shows. I guess Kevin Owens a little bit, although I doubt he'll do promo work for the Jericho match between now and Payback.
Yeah. And also, afraid that SmackDown was going to be left behind after the shakeup, but I do feel as though SmackDown is the better show, to be honest.
And why do you think that with a talent switch? In what way? I'm not disagreeing. I'm still kind of processing it. What makes you say that?
I think from a true wrestling fan perspective, when you have names like Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, John Cena, Randy Orton, that's a lot of talent. And especially with the 2 hour and not the 3 hour and filling that whole card, I feel like that the show is just going to be so much better.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point there. I mean, if you presented that list of wrestlers like 3 years ago, pre-signing AJ, pre-calling up Sammy and Kevin Owens, I mean, if you presented and pre-hiring and signing Shinsuke, I mean, imagine. I mean, sometimes you have to kind of step back and look at that. 3 years ago, you tell someone, yeah, SmackDown is going to be live on USA Network. And AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn are going to be four of the top singles wrestlers on that brand. I mean, some people just, they wouldn't believe you. I mean, it sounds too far-fetched, and it is a really good scenario. I mean, you know, I joke, and people will be, about, you know, Sami Zayn following Kevin Owens to SmackDown, or, you know, they end up on the same brand again. I think everybody's ready to see that match take a break for a year or two. And hopefully they do. I don't want them to just go to that again and again just to fill time. But overall, I mean, yeah, this is some, it's a good roster of top guys. But like I said, I want to kind of process, and I just haven't had a chance to do it yet, you know, the first two or three feuds for each of the two guys that seems to make sense. And it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, had Finn Balor gone to SmackDown, I don't know in exchange for whom, but, you know, John Cena or something, that would have added a whole other person to the mix. But that said, you know, Finn being on Raw has some of the coast clear to establish himself as a top babyface too, without, say, AJ Styles or John Cena also going there.
Yeah. And one final thing, and thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah.
I was really expecting Seth to go to SmackDown.
Yeah, I was too.
Now that he's not, I know that Roman Reigns is going to probably get written off of television for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But is there any chance that by WrestleMania 34, we see a Shield reunion?
They're all there, aren't they? Yeah.
They're all there.
I mean, I don't just default into thinking that would be awesome, because I think that Dean has become a very different character, and Seth Rollins is especially Monday starting to show signs. He showed signs on Monday after some setbacks that he might be ready to kind of not seem stuck in a rut as a character. And then Roman Reigns is a heel. And I don't think that they should be trying to use Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose to get Roman over as a babyface. But I also don't know that it makes sense for, I think it could rub off negatively on just about everybody if they got together anytime soon. I think you want to hold off on a Shield reunion until we've moved further down the journey that Roman Reigns especially is on, and Seth and Dean is just in such a different place. I don't know. To me, it's like, you know, I don't know, going back to high school with the same clique. It doesn't work. People have kind of moved on. So to me, I would save that for later. I understand the nostalgia for it, but I would save it for later and keep everybody on their own individual course for a while longer.
Thank you so much, Wade. I appreciate
absolutely
the conversation.
Thanks. Sure thing. Thanks for calling, Daddy. Always good to hear from you.
Yes, have a good night.
Excellent. Thank you. You too. All right. Let's go next to Mystery Caller in, looks like 1488, probably Australia or somewhere international. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Andrew from Australia.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. We haven't had
no worries.
Australian callers for a little while. I don't know where y'all went.
Yeah, I haven't heard Jason in a while. I miss his voice. Good to hear from Jason. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I thought the show was kind of a little clunky, I guess, tonight.
Yeah.
Specifically, like the Charlotte segment and the opening segment with Kevin Owens and not really explaining what's going on with Chris Jericho and him. And I guess, do you think that there's been a time where the WWE titles probably felt less relevant than now? Like, I feel like with everything that's transpired with Bray and Randy, it's kind of like there's not really anyone out to really, you know, chase Randy for the title. So it's kind of a weird spot for me personally.
I think if Kevin Owens drops the champion, drops the U.S. champion, even if he doesn't, I mean, Kevin Owens against Randy Orton might draw something out of Randy that we haven't seen in a while, so maybe that could be good. But yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy about Bray and Randy having another match when they're in the midst of the whole, you know, reshuffling of the deck. So yeah, I'm not crazy about that. I agree with you. This, I wrote it in my SmackDown report on pwtorch.com tonight that I think the announcers should have led with a little bit better of an explanation to avoid people just feeling confused and lost about how this is all working. And also acknowledged who left, you know, that Miz and Dean Ambrose especially were gone, and been a little bit more, deliberate in explaining that to viewers. I think they assumed too much knowledge or just kind of did it inductively throughout the show instead of just announcing it right at the very top.
Yeah, do you think they were maybe a little bit premature with the shuffle, and maybe they should have waited till after the pay-per-view? Because I guess now that it's pretty obvious that, I guess, Kevin Owens is staying and Bray Wyatt's not taking the title. I don't know, it just kind of seems like it's going to be a throwaway couple of weeks, and I think SmackDown is going to get off with a lack of momentum, especially because it is a good roster, but they're lacking a lot of main event talent. And I think the ones that, you know, are potentials like AJ Styles and Owens to be contenders for the WWE Championship with Randy Orton, I think they're kind of held up at the moment with the US title, obviously. So I just don't really know whether main event scene is going to really kick off. And I think I just want to get your opinion. Do you think we could see, like I think someone mentioned it earlier, but Seth Rollins come in and maybe something happens there with Stephanie and just ultimately kicking him off the Raw brand. And that's all I got.
Sure. Thanks, Sandra. I think Seth is probably on Raw to stay, but I think there is, if you look at how things have settled, or as the dust settles, I guess, in everything going on right now, the possibility of Seth going to SmackDown is probably the top name you would come up with if you're going to say, all right, by August or by June or July, you know, whatever, by sometime this summer, does someone else switch brands? And I think Seth is probably the top guy on the list who maybe has a falling out and there's a trade or just, you know, some sort of free agency like with Jack Swagger. So that could happen. With Reigns out selling the injury for a little while, Seth has a chance to establish being a top guy, a top baby face, put Roman in the mix. Hopefully Roman comes back as a heel. We'll see how stubborn Vince is as far as it goes. I think it's going to take a while to sink in. I'm eager for May to come around. I feel like we're just kind of in a bit of a holding pattern because of Payback and Owens Jericho and Bray and Randy. It makes what would have been a confusing week more confusing. I know it's not how Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn like to end a show. You got to end on a high note with a drama of somebody celebrating a victory like AJ Styles. But I would not have minded right before the main event or right after the main event, having the announcer just sit down and say, all right, for those of you at home, we're going to have this up at WWE.com so you can study it. But here's a rundown of the change. You know, we have gained these, you know, I don't know how many it is, 9 wrestlers. And here are the 9 wrestlers who have gone to Raw. And just kind of reviewed it for everybody. You know, give viewers who aren't going to sit here and go online and write down notes and compare. Just give them a little bit of an assessment of what happened and even just explain. And you know, right now, you know, Kevin Owens is on SmackDown, but if Chris Jericho beats him, then Jericho's coming to SmackDown and Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton are fighting for the championship. And if Bray wins, he's going to take the title with him. Now, they might not want to draw attention to that because it is ridiculous that Raw would have both world titles and SmackDown none. So in a way, they kind of booked themselves into a situation where I don't even think that they can own what they did without people just going, wait a second, that's not going to happen, and drawing attention to the fact that Randy is very clearly going to win that match. So anyway, we got a lot of people on hold. We'll get some more calls after this second commercial message. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. All right, welcome back to the PW Torch Livecast. Got another sponsor on the program, Loot Crate. If you're on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or if you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month, there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. For April, join them as they salute some of their favorite mystery solvers with items from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, and Marvel's Jessica Jones. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate, including signed copies of Jessica Jones Alias Volumes 1 through 4. You have until the 19th, that's next week, at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, to subscribe and receive that month's crate. But when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Those items are not available thereafter. So act now. Don't procrastinate. Take advantage of this offer. You can save $3 off your first Loot Crate by going to lootcrate.com and simply enter PW Torch when you are at checkout in the coupon code box. That promo code is PW Torch to save $3 off Loot Crate. All right, back to the phone lines we go. Let's go next to Luke in Frankfort, Kentucky. Luke, welcome back to the program. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade. Just kind of letting the superstar shakeup kind of settle in and everything. The biggest relief I have that AJ Styles is staying on SmackDown, because I'm actually going to SmackDown next week in Louisville, Kentucky. So I was really worried about that one. So that was a big relief.
I got emails from people saying that. They were worried that they bought a ticket, they want to see AJ, and they were worried he's going to be gone, and they were going to be stuck with, you know, Seth Rollins or something. So.
Exactly. You know, you've been talking about kind of how the titles have been downgraded a little bit in sake of storylines. But actually, I think tonight they, just in one night by switching Kevin Owens over, has elevated the U.S. title. They had a number one contenders match, and it basically made the title feel important again. What do you think about that?
Yes, although I think at the same time it pulled AJ down a notch. And you know, in the sense that AJ was a world title level guy, and now he's fighting for what is perceived as a secondary championship, I think it any championship gains some steam by having a bunch of people fight about wanting the belt and putting it in the main event spot on a show and airing video packages to hype the number one contendership match. All of that helps. That said, it's still AJ Styles fighting for a title that's below a belt that people think he should probably be holding right now instead of Randy Orton. So I have some mixed feelings on that.
I understand. I really think that even though, in my opinion, I think Raw probably got a little bit better of the shakeup of the two brands, but I really think that SmackDown will still be better because of the writers. It really seemed like they were given a lot less last year in the brand split, but SmackDown kind of ended up being the show that everybody liked.
Well, with AJ winning tonight, we're going to get, I assume, AJ and Kevin Owens, and that's a pretty cool match. I mean, so I like that. I mean, let me ask this. When you say you think Raw got the better of it, like which wrestler or two or three comes to mind that you think kind of tipped the scales towards Raw?
I think maybe them getting The Miz and Dean Ambrose were kind of better than Sami Zayn and Owens. To me, Owens, I mean, I really like Owens as a wrestler, but it kind of seemed like he got lost in the comedy part of it with Jericho for a while. And then, of course, Sami Zayn almost ended up being kind of the underdog that never won on Raw, almost kind of like Jack Swagger. When they got Jack Swagger, it's like you expected him to be a little bit better when he went to SmackDown, but he just kind of disappeared. And I'm hoping that they kind of do that with Zayn, but I don't see it yet. So, but of course it's early, but.
Well, Jason Paul over at ProWrestling.net just put up a list of the talent that went from one show to the other. And if we line them up as best we can, I think you have to imagine Charlotte got traded for, we don't have to, but let's say Charlotte got traded for Bray. Sammy and Owens got traded for, why am I drawing a blank here? I had it all worked out. Miz and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Jinder Mahal for Curt Hawkins. And then Rhino and Slater for the Shining Stars, Primo and Epico. And then Sin Cara Kalisto. That's an easy off, you know, they can kind of offset each other. And then Rusev and Lana for Bliss and I'm trying to think who I missed, and Apollo Crews. And then you have Mickey James for Tamina and Lana, I guess. And then New Day is just kind of a bonus for SmackDown when you kind of look at it wrestler for wrestler that way. I don't know.
True.
I mean, it seems pretty, I mean, some people would say SmackDown's getting punished by getting New Day, but I think that's all in all. I mean, I think that it's pretty even, looking at it that way. I mean, I think that I was worried. I wouldn't have put my money on it, but I was a little worried that SmackDown would come out of it looking like they were going to try to sell this idea of it's the land of reclamation projects, which is when Shane McMahon says it's the land of opportunity. I always wonder if that's Vince McMahon's code for, well, let's see if those people on Tuesday can fix these broken, you know, these broken stars who let me down. And I don't sense that that's the case with the people acquired. You know, I mean, maybe a little bit Rusev and Lana, but I mean, I think it feels pretty even to me. I think an honest effort was made to keep things even and just add some fresh matchups.
One more question. What do you think will happen first? A Roman Reigns heel turn or a Jinder Mahal win?
Jinder Mahal win. But okay. But I have more doubt. I have more doubt now than I probably did 2 days ago, because I mean, if you do that angle and the fans are chanting the nasty things they did at Roman yet again, Vince McMahon's got at some point just tire of being embarrassed that the fans are rejecting him so much, you know, rejecting what he wants them, how he wants them to react to Roman Reigns. I mean, at some point it's just embarrassing. It's just self-destructive to keep doing something that, and the fans are not going to change. You know, I mean, some like Roman, but the ones who don't, it's too late. You know, they're just not going to. So yeah, I think Jinder wins first, but it wasn't tonight. All right. Well, cool. Anything else, Luke?
That's it. I'll be calling you live with a recap next week.
Fantastic. Look forward to it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Wade. Have a good night. Thank you.
Yep. You too. All right. Let's go to Jay in Tampa next, and then Boris in Chicago. Jay, welcome to Live.
Hey, Wade. Hey there. I just got two things with the
sure.
Night. The first one is, had heard someone say before that they think that back with the Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar, it was like a deal made. I don't know if that was the case, but the odds of both of them being the world champions right now and look like SummerSlam is where that started with. I don't think we can just assume anything. I've been hearing some of the previous callers saying about, you know, with the matches heading into the next pay-per-view that, but you don't know what they'll do. They might, you know, Vince might shake something up in that area just in despite of trying to throw everybody off.
I could imagine that.
So I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes things are just what they appear, though. You know, I mean, it is possible out of spite or just to show anything can happen. But I mean, a lot of things that, you know, were projected to happen and got out that were going to happen at Mania happened. And sometimes he just stays the course, whether people are, you know, able to figure it out ahead of time or not. But you're right. I mean, he could do some weird twist and turn, and there could be another trade, and he wants to keep people on their toes and not, you know, not, he might want to show people, don't think you're smart and got me all figured out. I'll throw you a curveball.
Right. Exactly. I'm very optimistic of the shakeup. I liked everything the way it laid out. I mean, Raw kind of put me in the mind of Walking Dead, how Negan goes to the, you know, all the groups and takes the stuff that they built up. So it's like, when you look at, in my opinion, when you look at some of the wrestlers that did really good in the last year with, well, it was Bray Wyatt or The Miz and people like that, and then it's almost like they took those people, but the people that they brought over, like Kevin Owens and stuff, I don't think that Kevin Owens, even though he had the belt, he didn't feel bigger to me. He just felt like he was just kind of stagnant because they didn't, in my opinion, they kind of underutilized him, like the caller said before, with the comedy skits and stuff. But sometimes that comedy stuff is just a necessary evil to, in my opinion, to get some of the wrestlers over in a certain kind of way. But I'm totally content with what they've done, and I think it was just a good shakeup. I'm thrilled to see what they do with it, to be honest with you.
Good. No, I mean, I would be surprised if anyone's just, you know, hating on the shakeup. I mean, you can maybe be indifferent or like some of the fresh matchups. I mean, you can be a little disappointed if you just really wanted to see AJ on Raw for some reason, or there's a certain matchup that now you're not going to get. But in general, yeah, it's I think it's hard to look at this and just, you know, be outraged.
Exactly. All right, that's all I got. You guys have a great one.
Cool, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to go to our break and then come back. And then we've got Boris in Chicago and Chris in New York on deck. So we'll be back right after this. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All All right, we're back. Don't forget, we've got T-shirts for you now. Branded T-shirts, PW Torch and PW Torch Livecast. Check them out at pwtorchtees.com. That is pwtorchtees.com. Or you can just go to pwtorch.com and click on the link. On the very top of the page, on the red strip above our logo, there's a link to the PW Torch T-shirt store. And go check out the four different colors, four different logos, four different designs, and pick one up, have it delivered within a few days, and wear it to the next wrestling event, or to the gym, or out jogging, or on your next date. Who knows? Who knows how that'll turn out? All right, let's go back to the phone lines, and we got Chris from New York on deck. Boris in Chicago is up right now. Boris, welcome to Livecast. What's your comment or question today?
Hey, Wade, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Two things. When WWE put this together, right? When they set things in motion, they put out what they wanted. And when the crowd was cheering, they wanted Finn Balor against Brock Lesnar, and they gave him. They setting up the match for Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. That's one, right? Now when on SmackDown, the way they set it up, you know, they made it like it was announcing for Charlotte, but they gave us Tamina, and then when they decided to tinker with the crowd, they started chanting for Sasha, but they gave them Charlotte. So it's like WWE is missing the mark when the fans know who they really want. I mean, they love Charlotte. WWE loves Charlotte, but the fans seem to pick other people. We're going down that path again. That's my first question. We're back down that path. And then you mentioned, I think it's after WrestleMania. This is a question I was trying to wonder if you could ask for. You said, which do people prefer, the wrestling before WrestleMania or the road to WrestleMania? Did you ever get an answer for that? I know I might not be saying it right, but I prefer the before WrestleMania because it's good because we had AJ as champion. But the path to the road to WrestleMania, AJ lost the belt and it just went into a kerfuffle. You know what I mean? So I prefer the wrestling before WrestleMania. I can do without WrestleMania because I like the way the build-up is. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, thanks, Boris. I would say, as far as the crowd chants go, I mean, they're not gonna deliver everything that the fans want every time they chant it. And I mean, yes, they were chanting for Sasha after the teaser with Tamina. And I think it was a little bit of guesswork. And Sasha's technically a babyface at this point. Charlotte, I think they sort of felt like that teaser happened and left. But there were, even as people were chanting, we want Sasha, I thought that there were some people chanting, we want Charlotte too. You know, they in a crowd chant, they can kind of get mixed up. And I thought that there was a mix of both of those going on. And there were certainly some woos from the crowd. So I don't think this is like not giving the fans what they want. And as far as, you know, the build this WrestleMania or not, I mean, there isn't an objective answer. It's subjective. And, you know, I respect for sure that you like the build of WrestleMania and it culminates in a big show. I think they're both different and they're both cool. You know, it's like, do you prefer baseball playoffs or do you prefer opening week when a team like the Minnesota Twins can have the best winning percentage and the best record in the league after having one of the worst seasons any team's ever had ever last year? You know, that's fun, you know, and then, you know, we're talking, you know, can the Twins win the division? And, you know, they lost today. So I think they're 5-2 now, but you know, that everybody's got a chance at the beginning. And to me, this kind of feels like the opening week of baseball season when every team that, you know, some teams were predicted to do terribly. And all of a sudden there's some people swinging the bats better and a few pitchers who are looking stronger than expected and some young players coming into their own and maybe one trade or a change in management. That's kind of change the culture and it gives people new hope. So some people like that better, but others like it when it comes down to the American and National League Championship and the World Series. And that's the peak and that's what counts. But some people love both. You know, they both have their own attributes. So to me, the build up to WrestleMania itself with the culmination of the show and then what happens afterwards are two distinct, they have two distinct feelings. And I mean, I enjoy them both, but I think when we get to the final couple weeks before Mania, sometimes there's a feeling of, okay, let's get on with it. I just want to get to the show and let's not have the same people talking about the same things for any longer. And when you get after Mania, especially now this follow-up with a superstar shakeup, now it's about all these different possibilities, you know, and new matchups and new hope that some wrestlers who maybe were not getting a push will now get a proper push because they didn't fit into the WrestleMania plans. And now Vince is taking a fresh look at things. So I think you can, you know, like both. And I think that's just fine. All right, Chris in New York, you're up next. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Before I get into SmackDown, I just wanted to bring up something that you brought up before about the Shield guys.
Yeah.
How,
yeah.
You know, Shield shouldn't get back together. I totally agree with you on that. I think, the Shield, they weren't interesting when they first debuted. I think doing it again would seem, Lazak, like you said, going back to high school. I am glad that Dean Ambrose is off of SmackDown because, you know, he really just wasn't. He didn't bring anything to the brand as the Shield guys tend to not do. So I think that it's good to see him on Raw. But, you know, the sum is definitely better than the parts when it comes to those three guys. But there's nothing for the Shield to do anymore. So I think you're right about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
SmackDown, SmackDown I thought was better than last week for sure. It wasn't great, but I think it was better than last week. SmackDown was pretty good. It's good to see the Shining Stars off with the Strong Star. I thought they were probably the most underrated tag team in all of WWE. You know, those guys they probably have the most unique in-ring style of any of the tag teams. I hope SmackDown uses them a lot better than Raw did. I think those guys have tons of potential. You know, the New Day, I think people expected the New Day to come to SmackDown. There's nothing for them to do on Raw. You know, I thought some of the acquisitions, you know, Kevin Owens coming, you know, well, we don't really know, but we do know because he's definitely being Jericho. Jericho's leaving after Payback, so we know he's coming out. I think he's a good addition. What did you think of the additions to SmackDown?
Well, you know, I during the commercial break, I kind of mapped out the trades. And how it lines up. And let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus New Day. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus New Day. Yeah. So I think I've got it lined up. So this is how I think if WWE were to reveal the trades, I think this is how it went. Again, you can shuffle a couple of these names, but this essentially covers how even I think the draft was. Kevin Owens for Bray Wyatt, two heels. Sami Zayn for Dean Ambrose, two baby faces. Jinder Mahal for Curt Hawkins, two kind of agitating jobber to the stars. Charlotte for Alexa Bliss, two heel women championship level wrestlers as they're framed and portrayed. Epico and Primo versus traded for Rhino and Slater, two, you know, kind of mid to lower mid tag teams, to put it generously, I guess, in the case of Epico and Primo. Tamina and Mickey James. That certainly seems to favor, you know, Mickey the Stronger of the two, but we'll see. Sin Cara, Kalisto, definitely an even swap there. Rusev and Lana for Miz and Maryse, two heel duos with the accompanying woman. And then three New Day members for Apollo Crews, because, you know, I can imagine Vince thinking we'll trade three black guys for one black guy. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in his mind, that might equate. So there's a couple extra wrestlers who went to SmackDown. I think as I'm counting it up, but I mean, when you put it that way, it looks even, and all it does is creates some fresh matchups and maybe it, you know, obviously Epico and Primo against American Alpha, I don't think feels as much a promotion for the Shining Stars as it does a demotion of hope, for fans of American Alpha. I mean, it seems to be lowering them on the roster, but I think we'll probably see New Day and the Usos, feuding soon. So, yeah, I don't know. It's fresh matchups. I think it worked out well for both.
I probably was the only one who felt like this, but when Kevin Owens came out, I was like, you know what? This guy, he's a solid competitor. He has a lot of support. I'm not a fan, but I can enjoy his work. And then Sami Zayn came out, and I immediately was like, are you serious? What's the point of having these two on the same brand? You know, WWE likes to spin this story where they're somehow rivals or lifelong competitors, but in reality, Kevin Owens, when he came in, he destroyed Sami Zayn. He made his NXT a career based off beating Sami Zayn. And then he went on to win the Intercontinental Championship, Universal Championship, and now the United States Championship. Sami Zayn, I mean, he's just kind of there. I don't why do they keep trying to push this story? Because I think if you look at it, Kevin Owens is clearly the better wrestler, clearly the bigger superstar. So what's the point of trying to push them as like they're on the same level and they're somehow competitive? I don't understand that. What do you think is WWE's logic behind that?
Well, I think in a way it's sort of like you can pick a divisional rival in the NFL. There are teams that are rivals, but they're not similar in record. That happens with the Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears sometimes. Packers are dominant. The Bears having a bad year. That's probably the scenario more often lately in recent years. But it's still a rivalry because there's a huge history between the two teams and the two sports markets. And I think the idea with Sammy and Kevin Owens is that they have this long, long, long rivalry. But on the main roster, the story is Kevin Owens is the better wrestler. He is the wrestler who has found a way to succeed more than Sammy has. Sammy, as they said in the video package tonight, is, you know, made a career of people underestimating him, and they're telling that story. I think it's fine for Sammy to be competitive with Kevin Owens, but have Owens be better than him, and down the line, keep them apart, even though they're on the same roster. It doesn't mean they have to wrestle each other. Keep them apart for a while, let Sammy gain some momentum, and then when they cross paths again in 18 to 36 months, then it will feel fresh again because they'll have each been on a journey. And when they cross paths, ideally at that point, Sammy will have further established himself as a top guy. So I think there's a way to accomplish both.
The JBL chance and the signs getting taken away. And, you know, the JBL billing stories we've heard for about 15 years now, several guys have come out and say, JBL did this, JBL did that. And most of the stories don't really sound that bad. You know, hazing, it goes on in any locker room environment, any fraternity-like environment. It's not really that big a deal. It's part of the culture. The rumors of JBL, it seems like he goes too far sometimes. You know, I guess that's the big problem, why it's getting the coverage is getting now. I mean, what do you think of everything that's going on with JBL? Do you think Mauro's coming back at all?
I don't think Mauro's coming back. I think they went too far with Mauro. I think they've gone too far for many, many years. And I'm glad that it's getting the attention that it deserves. And if what, you know, Justin Roberts has written and what people are saying, you know, how Mauro was affected by it. And if, you know, this is common practice, it needs to stop and people should be held accountable. And it comes from the very top of Vince McMahon. It's a culture that he has either turned a blind eye to or enabled or encouraged. And he's the type of person who's made it pretty clear, you know, he thinks one of the funniest things in the world is shoving an unsuspecting person into a swimming pool. He's in JBL's ear, feeding him lines. There's nothing that JBL is going to get away with saying that upsets Vince McMahon that JBL is going to get away with saying 2-3 more weeks in a row. You know, Vince wouldn't put up with that. So JBL in a way is the voice of Vince McMahon. And I think that that the hazing, of people in vulnerable positions, that should stop, and that it's gone on way, way too long. So, I mean, I'm glad it's coming to light, and I'm not happy that Mauro had to go through whatever it is that he's going through from being berated. And I don't buy JBL's excuse. Well, I'm a heel. No, well, he's not a heel. He's a indiscriminately random character. He's sometimes pro-America and this damn Rusev and American flag and USA, and then other times he's a heel, and other times he's just being a jerk to James Ellsworth, picking on Ellsworth not for his attitude but for how he was born, the way he looks. And it's not like, you know, JBL is this, you know, this model leading man. I mean, this is the the hypocrisy of somebody like JBL picking on other people. It's not cool. So yeah, I'm fine with JBL getting some of it back. If the crowds are going to bully JBL with signs and chants, he better man up and take it, because he sure expected everybody else who was in a vulnerable position to his prime position as a guy riding in Vince McMahon's private jet and being a favored guy of Vince. He took advantage of that. So now, and he expected others to have a thick skin and just take it. It's all in fun. Well, JBL, it's all in fun. It's all in fun. Take the chance. And you know, we'll see.
Brock Lesnar and John Cena. Well, you know, last year when the brand split happened, I was hoping that I was like, okay, Brock's on one brand, Cena's on another brand. That's good. They should not be the same brand. I was hoping that luck would have it that Cena would go over to Raw and Brock would go over to SmackDown. And obviously, you know, with that didn't happen, when it made sense because you have, you know, Orton and Lesnar on the same brand with both their titles, so it wouldn't make sense. But I don't see who Cena can feud with on SmackDown anymore. I don't think there's any heels for him to feud with on SmackDown. And I think, you know, Brock, he's faced all the top guys on Raw for the most part, you know, except Balor and Jericho. Oh, actually, he's faced Jericho too. So, I mean, do you think that would have been better? Because I think Brock on SmackDown, he's a perfect fit. He fits the gritty style of SmackDown. He's not, you know, the Raw style, the sort of like the flashy 20-minute promo guys that, you know, Raw likes to push. Do you think that they should have done that, or do you think it's fine the way it is now?
Well, funny you should say that, because I've got an email queued up, Chris, that I want to add to what you just said, and then I'll respond to both what you said and the email. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to go to the top of the hour break here, and when we come back, we'll address that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you soon. All right, so we'll go to break, and when we come back, got an email to read about related to what Chris just said, and we'll take some more calls, too.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at RingRustRadio and email us at RingRustRadio@yahoo.com.
All right, we're back. This is the PW Torch Livecast. I'm Wade Keller, and tomorrow I'll be joined by Pro Wrestling Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, who's been writing for the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter since 1990. And he'll join me on the midweek to digest and analyze and break down the superstar shakeup and anything else you want to talk about. We broaden the scope of topics on the midweek show. And so if you want to talk about other things, call us or email, and we'll discuss it on tomorrow's program. And then Justin Roberts on Thursday. Don't forget, we encourage you, if you enjoy the show, to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Stitcher or anywhere else you can rate podcasts and leave some kind words. It can help drive new listeners to the show. And we really appreciate you taking time out to do that. And I think on that note, we'll go to the email I mentioned. Dylan from Nashville, Tennessee emailed during the show and said, regarding Danny's call about Bray Wyatt's chances of winning the WWE title at Payback, it got me thinking, with Brock Lesnar not being advertised for very much going forward, is it possible that Bray actually wins and takes the WWE title to Raw? It would explain why the top SmackDown wrestler is now the number one contender to the U.S. title, as it would become the top title on SmackDown, if that were the case. Now, don't get me wrong. I realize it's unlikely, but the pieces are in place for that to happen. If that were to happen, it would give Raw a world champion that appears regularly. And once the Universal title is off Lesnar, you could always switch it back to SmackDown down the road via trade or cross-brand title match. Again, not betting on it, but it could be interesting. Great show as always. Have a great night. Thanks, Dylan. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, Jay and Tampa said, you know, I don't think we should assume anything with Vince McMahon. You know, he may want to make it seem like, yep, it's pretty obvious that Randy's going to beat Bray and the title, you know, the WWE title stays in on the WWE World Heavyweight title stays on SmackDown because of it. But yeah, maybe he throws a curveball in there. If Undertaker can go where he wants, then maybe Paul Heyman can say that Brock Lesnar goes where he wants, and you end up with kind of the Universal title just floating over to SmackDown, or they have some sort of explanation for it too. So yeah, I mean, I can't rule that out. I mean, Brock is going to be a part-time guy. I think he's a big enough star, and Vince McMahon still favors Raw, that it's most likely that Lesnar stays on Raw and you know, Randy Orton keeps the belt. But I mean, until it happens, it hasn't happened. Okay. Let's, somebody did mention, by the way, that the Sasha chants are because they were in Boston. So we'll, that I think that kind of explains too. What I can't remember which caller was that, Boris or Jay? Well, whoever brought that up, the chance for Sasha instead of it was Boris instead of Charlotte. I think had to do with Boston, and it's a very good point. very much likely the case why she was getting the chance at that moment. All right, let's go to Romeo, New York City. Romeo, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
How's it going, Wade? Two quick things for you.
Yeah.
Number one, did Vince really break up Renee Young and Dean Ambrose?
I guess, yeah. Yeah. I guess he did.
What a nice guy.
I mean, unless Renee ends up announced as going to Raw. They did the Byron Otunga thing. So,
I'm watching Talking Smack in the background, and Dolph Ziggler walked in and sort of teased her about it, and also made note of a very fancy ring on her finger.
People have been noticing that. People have been noticing that. Yeah, I'll let her reveal what she wants. Yeah.
My other thing for you was out of all the wrestlers that switched sides during the Superstar Shakeup, would you say that SmackDown? Would you agree with me and say that SmackDown got the best tag team, the best women's wrestler, and the best male wrestler?
Let's see. Kevin Owens would be the best male wrestler. Charlotte, for sure. Well, yeah, for sure, the best women wrestler. I mean, Mickie James is good acquisition for Raw. I wouldn't say it's totally out of balance, but Charlotte and Tamina for Mickie and Bliss feels collectively equal. But yeah, I mean, Charlotte's the biggest star. And as far as the tag team goes, New Day certainly beats Rhino and Slater. So yeah, that's one way. That's another way to look at it.
That's all I got, Wade.
All right, cool.
Thank you for the call.
Absolutely. All right, let's go next to Sean in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, thanks for rolling. What's on your mind tonight?
Wade, thanks for taking my call as always.
Sure.
I definitely like the shakeup, like he said. I mean, overall, I liked it. I mean, I did think it's pretty balanced, but I was wanting to see if you think kind of like I was thinking about. I'm excited about Rusev and Lana once Rusev's healthy, about him being on SmackDown, just because I do think on SmackDown, knowing they do a better job of telling some stories. I do feel like with Rusev, he can kind of get his character back on track a little bit, knowing he'll have some fresh matchups with some different guys, you know, whether it ends up being with, you know, down the line with, you know, either Kevin Owens or, maybe with an AJ at some point, just somewhere. I think that could really help him out a little bit. I was wanting to know what you thought about that. I mean, or do you think that helps him out going to SmackDown once he is healthy? Do you think that helps his character or can help his character quite a bit?
Who are you talking about? Because my mic went out, or my earpiece went out briefly.
Oh, sorry. Rusev on SmackDown.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of from context. That's what you're saying. I wanted to be sure. He needed a change. I'm not quite sure what they were doing with that Lana video either. It's like they introduced Rusev and then separately they introduced Lana in that video with her doing the dance routine around the chair and stuff. So I think they got something in mind for them, but I mean, it's possible that Lana's not just seconding Rusev anymore. Something else could be at play. So I'm not sure, but yeah, I like Rusev on SmackDown for, you know, just some fresh riders and a fresh atmosphere. Cause it seemed, I mean, he is super valuable and super talented. And I just don't think I don't think he was going to get a chance to be the brute character, heel or eventually babyface. Who knows? I don't think he'd get that chance if he's competing with Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. So there's a chance for Rusev to rise and get a better push on SmackDown than I think if he stayed on Raw, I think a lot of people would be who are fans of his work would be fearing that he was going to stay lost in the shuffle. So I think of all the people who got moved around, I mean, to me, Rusev is the one who probably does stand the chance to benefit the most.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Nakamura segment with Ziggler because I'm with you. I think it's a good start for him because Dolph always puts on good matches. I'm with you. I don't like him right now either, but I do think it's you know, he does put on a great match no matter who he faces. So I think that'll be good for Shinsuke to kind of start out with and kind of just go from there. And then the other thing I had for you to ask was, the match, the triple threat match was very good, you know, between the three guys. But what's throwing me off is, obviously, I didn't want Sammy to win just because I didn't want him to face Kevin Owens again because I'm 50 million times.
Right.
The second thing was, with Baron, it's like, you know, two heels, it just doesn't, you know, generally make sense. And then and when AJ won, I'm with you, it just didn't make sense because it's like you're lowering AJ down for a while, and it's like he's not a U.S. title. I mean, he shouldn't be going after a U.S. title right now. He should be going after the big time. And so it was like the match was good, but it's like all three guys, it doesn't make any sense why they would go against Kevin Owens right now. So I want to know what you thought when you were watching the match. Were you kind of like, I don't want any of these. I mean, AJ against Kevin Owens would be a fantastic match, and I'm excited about the match itself. But, like, right now, it just feels too early to me to have them going against each other. So I want to know what you thought while you were watching that, kind of like, you know, how it was going.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it was about the only way. I mean, if they wanted to just kind of troll us, I guess, having Sammy win would have been, you know, one way to go with it. But, I mean, if they go right to that and they make it feel like it counts – and that it's a big deal. I mean, that works. Baron Corbin, I mean, when Baron Corbin came out and started jostling with Kevin Owens, I was like, well, are they turning Kevin Owens babyface? Probably not, based on the promo he gave. So are they going to frame Baron Corbin as a babyface? And or is it just two heels? And then, of course, once Sammy comes out and AJ comes out, it's pretty clear it's just sort of an every man for himself type scenario. But when the match happened, I mean, yeah, AJ, as I'm watching the match, I mean, AJ is the only logical person to win. And if you're going to put AJ in a contendership match for a secondary title after he had a run with the top title, he better damn well sure win it. I mean, you don't want AJ to go in there and lose lose under those circumstances, unless they did something along the lines of, let's say that Rusev was healthy. And Rusev, as a heel, attacked AJ to cement AJ turning babyface and knocked him out of the match. And that set up a non-title feud with Rusev and AJ. I mean, those would be great matches. You know, Rusev could definitely have good matches with AJ. So something like that, you know, would be a way to get him out of the match. So I guess I was thinking either they're headed that direction towards, you know, AJ getting knocked out to set up a feud with somebody else, or it's going to be AJ and Owens, and I guess we have to at least pay lip service to AJ and Kevin and Chris Jericho as a possibility.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm with you. I think the shakeup was good for now. But like you said, I think it's going to take a month or so after pay per view to kind of see where it's going. But I'm excited. I mean, I think it is a good mix up. I think, you know, the fresh matchups are going to help both sides, and I think there's a lot of really good things that can come out of it. So, but Wade, thank you. That's all I got. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks so much, Sean. You can read my report on SmackDown if you want to catch up on other things. We had Aiden English singing before he lost to the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. Had Mojo Rawley with Rob Gronkowski getting a victory over Jinder Mahal. Usos won a nice match, but 9 minutes minus 3.5 minutes of commercials didn't leave a lot of time for it to be an epic match. The tag team division still being put. This just felt like a blow-off for American Alpha to get them out of the tag division. So New Day can feud with the Usos. That's what, in retrospect, it seems like. And then Eric Rowan took on Randy Orton. Bray Wyatt showed up, taunted Randy, leading to Orton winning by DQ when Rowan threw the stairs at him. I'll talk about all of this and more on the VIP Wade Keller Hotline, which I'll be recording right after tonight's program, right after the live cast. So VIP members can listen to my in-depth rundown of both Raw and SmackDown. I do VIP Wade Keller Hotlines after each of those shows. So I encourage you to go VIP, pwtorch.com/govip for more information on everything that comes with a VIP membership. We'll take another call here. Let's go to area code 978. 978, thanks for calling. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Wade, this is Mike McMahon. How are you?
Hey, Mike, good to hear from you. You were at the show tonight.
Yeah. Well, I was,
Yeah, I'm glad I took.
I'm just heading home now.
Yeah, Mike McMahon, host of the PW Torch Livecast Post Impact Edition.
You know, I wanted to actually run by you because you may have covered this earlier in the show, but if the chance for Mauro Ranallo and the negative chance towards JBL, how prevalent were those on the television broadcast tonight? Because they were pretty loud in the building.
They were muted compared to the reports that are coming out on social media. Tell me how when they peaked, if you remember, and how often they were there, and that'll help, you know, put a percentage on how much WWE managed to phase out.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one, to be kind of honest, I thought the loudest one was right at the beginning, before they even went on the air for SmackDown. They had the announcers come out at about 7:50, 7:55, and all three of them came out to JBL's music, and at first it was just people booing JBL, and then it quickly turned into a very loud "We Want Mauro" chant. And then I figured, okay, you know, they're off the air, obviously. They hadn't started the show yet. I sort of wondered, like, hey, maybe this is a one-time thing. But it was early in the show. I mean, there wasn't really anything late. It was all very early in the show. I'd say probably within the first half hour, and I don't remember exactly at which point, but the "We Want Mauro" chant was very loud again at one point. And then, you know what, I do remember, it was during the tag team match between the Usos and American Alpha. There was at one point where they were dueling, well, not really dueling, but "We Want Mauro, Bradshaw sucks. We Want Mauro, Bradshaw sucks." And then at one point, there was a urine a-hole chant at Bradshaw as well. That was pretty loud. And it got to the point where...
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. It had gotten to the point where I said to one of the people I was with, I go, you know, they might have to actually do something about this. You know, I don't, and it was hard to tell whether or not it was showing up because I didn't know if they were in commercial. It seemed like during the tag team match, it may have been during a commercial, but they were pretty loud at certain points during the night, for sure.
There was a fan who held up a sign that said JBL bullied me, and he got escorted out of the building. Did you see that?
Oh no, I did not see that.
There's a clip on Twitter. I retweeted a clip of that on Twitter of a fan getting kicked out for holding up the sign, and he held it up on the way out. I mean, this is an issue for WWE right now. They've got something on their hands that may go away pretty quickly, but it might not. And I'm curious how they end up handling all this.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because I thought before the show, I said, you know, I wonder how many people in the building even are aware of it, number one. And then once it seemed like a lot of people were, how much is this, are they going to chalk this up to, oh, it's a Northeast crowd? You know, same sort of thing you'd get if they were in Philadelphia or New York. And I'm sort of interested in seeing what happens next week and the week after, you know, if this becomes a regular thing, or was it just it's the hot topic in the news right now, and are people going to forget about it in 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, some of it depends on what happens next with, you know, I mean, Jay, and you weren't able to pick up on this because you were at the show, but JBL's commentary was a lot less edgy. Very much it was, he was kind of gregarious with Byron Saxton. He was not nearly as harsh on who's Carmella's James Ellsworth. Yeah, he was much nicer to James Ellsworth. He was restrained. People were joking on Twitter throughout the show that, you know, JBL's just going to explode not getting this out of his system. You know, I mean, just being the bully on the air, you know, can he handle it? Not getting it all out of his system during the show. But it was a different. It was notably a different JBL. Even when Mojo Rawley jumped on the announce table and took JBL's hat and danced with it, you know, JBL wasn't like, you know, give me my hat back, this is ridiculous. He was like, whoa, this is a knee slapping good time. Well, we're all having a great time on SmackDown. And even when Sami Zayn came out early in the show, he said it just keeps getting better and better for SmackDown. And again, his defense of treating Mauro the way that he did on the air was, well, I'm a heel. Well, if you're a heel, you should be going, the last thing SmackDown needs is Sami Zayn on this program. You know, Mojo, give me my hat back. That's stealing property. But, I mean, it seemed like he very much adjusted his announcing style in reaction to this blowback. So I'm thinking they're starting to wish they had a pre-taped SmackDown right now so they could do a lot of post-production work.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was kind of funny, too, because when they made that change, David Otunga and Byron Saxton last night, the first thing I thought of was, really? I mean, the JBL character, if you want to say that he's not, you know, the way he is on television, if it actually is a character, who would that character pick on more, David Otunga or Byron Saxton?
Trust me, Byron Saxton. David Otunga doesn't put up with that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like, what are they doing? I mean, they seem to just be setting themselves up into a trap. I thought that was really strange, given everything that happened, you know, to put that Byron Saxton character and the JBL character together on the same announce team, considering the heat that he's been under the last week or so.
Maybe they did it because JBL wants to babyface Byron and show what a good guy he is. So they put him in a situation where fans are expecting JBL to be a bully, and now he can be really nice to Byron to show that he's a good-hearted guy and it was all just in fun before.
Yeah, it was just interesting overall. I wasn't sure how much of it, you know, was making air and how much of it they were able to hide, because it wasn't like it was an all-night thing. It wasn't going on for 2 hours, but there were definitely portions of the show and that those chants were pretty loud.
Yeah, no, it didn't come across on TV anywhere near what you're describing. And it's interesting. Well, besides the JBL stuff, Mike, anything else noteworthy from either before the show or maybe off camera happenings at all or other crowd chants?
Not particularly. No, I mean, after the Nakamura Dolph Ziggler segment, they had Ziggler come back out during the commercial break to set up the dark match main event, which was very clearly trying to get people in the building for 205 Live. And I think I joked on Twitter, it worked about halfway, in the sense that about half the crowd still stayed. But they had Ziggler come out and say, that's it. You know, you want to do this, we're going to do it tonight. And it was the dark match after 205 Live, I think, definitely to try to keep people in the building. And overall, I mean, I'd say it was a pretty good show. People definitely thought that they were going to see Sasha Banks. I mean, I heard you talking about that earlier. It's just her hometown, you know. People were definitely chanting her name during the women's segment. But, I thought the Gronkowski thing, I got a pretty good pop, too, which I was surprised by. Not surprised by, but it was one of the bigger reactions of the night. I think people were excited to see Mojo Rawley for the mere fact that I think they knew they were going to see Gronk, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine to play into the local sports team like that. I mean, that's how WWE operates, and that's fine. How was the crowd response for Shinsuke? I mean, it came across on TV that people knew him and chanted for him, but was it a vocal minority of Bellwether fans, or was it were you surprised by how over Shinsuke was with a more mainstream audience?
No, people knew who he was for sure, and there was, you know, at one point I think during the segment where they just sort of stood there. Ziggler and Nakamura stood there and were staring at each other, and the crowd was still singing his music, which I thought was pretty cool. People knew who he was. And yeah, the reaction, it was a little hard to tell. I mean, the arena was really dark, darker than I remember. It could have just been the seats, too. I mean, I was sort of blinded by the way the lights were fixed. So it was hard to see around the entire building. But people... You know, people definitely knew who he was, and the crowd, they were on their feet when he came out. You know, as soon as the music hit, people knew who he was for sure.
Did Shinsuke own the room? You know, we talk about John Cena owning the room when he's in the ring, and that's a skill that not every wrestler has. Did he own the room?
He definitely did with the older crowd. And this type of crowd, I think, on a weeknight, you know, in a market like Boston, it was mostly an older crowd. But, yeah, he definitely did with the older crowd for sure.
Yeah, cool. Anything else at all?
No, I think that's it. We'll talk. Me and Andrew will be back on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Well, Mike, people can hear you talk about Impact Wrestling Thursday night. You'll be back live right after Impact goes off the air on Pop TV with Andrew Socek. So we look forward to that. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Excellent. All right, we'll take one more call here. This is a blocked number, but if this is you, go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, this is Adam calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. How you doing?
I thought it might be you. You emailed and said you were calling, and I think you have a blocked number, so we weren't able to actually see your number.
I do.
But it could just be phones. Yeah, so cool. I'm glad I took your call. What's up, Adam?
Yes, yes. Calling it tonight because I was noticing something on Wikipedia, and actually it referenced WWE.com in regards to the United States title match. I thought it was very, very interesting. The caveat that they have for the U.S. title match at Payback is that the winner of the match will be on SmackDown and the loser goes to Raw. So it's not like a foregone conclusion that, oh, Kevin Owens is going to win because the U.S. title is on SmackDown and the Intercontinental title is on Raw. So it could be a situation where Owens loses the match, he goes back to Raw, and Jericho comes over to SmackDown. I think an advantage of possibly Jericho coming back to SmackDown is if we're trying to get AJ Styles to possibly turn back into a face, maybe possibly the return of the tag team Y2AJ, or maybe they can get into a program where the U.S. title, the start, and then they do the whole thing where they're, after the match, they shake hands, oh, you know, I have respect for you and all that. Then they might become like kind of a tag team again to get the AJ Styles face turn going again. Any thoughts on that?
I wouldn't get your hopes up. I mean, I think that I get what you're saying. They did say on SmackDown tonight that was the case. That whoever, you know, I think, was it Shane who said it or Daniel Bryan? I think Daniel Bryan said, you know, if whoever wins between Jericho and Owens, they come to SmackDown. So, but to me, Jericho being a part-timer, although sometimes it feels more full-time, but not a year-round full-time guy year after year, I just think they need Kevin Owens on SmackDown. I think that if they lose Miz and Dean and they don't get Kevin Owens on SmackDown, it starts looking like a lopsided draft because there's no way that Sami Zayn or Jinder Mahal or Sin Cara are ready to take a top spot to make up for the loss of Miz and Dean. And, you know, all due respect to even Rusev, he's not Kevin Owens as a guy who can just, you know, be a guy you tune in and as a centerpiece act. You know, it's not a perfect substitute there either. So I just think Owens keeps the title. But the other thing is Jericho wins the U.S. title, comes to SmackDown, but Owens also stays on SmackDown, and I guess they could play that too.
True.
They could play it out
okay,
that way.
Very
so.
Good. All right.
How about
Styles,
just,
Styles and Corbin? Honestly, I think that I remember you were just talking about a little earlier how, you know, it's a little beneath Styles to be in the United States championship match picture and all of that, and you know, but I think that is just for me personally, I think this is something to set up something with Styles and Corbin, like a program that way, because Corbin is just an awesome heel. I mean, he's on Talking Smack, he's always great, and just he fits the role. And I mean you've talked about it before where it just naturally fits the part, like you believe he's a total jerk and everything. So I could see both of them getting into something. Maybe Corbin costs Styles the match against Owens at Backlash, that's the one in May in Chicago coming up. So maybe that could get a program going that way, maybe boost up Corbin a little bit and get him actually a nice win to keep him going.
Yes, I agree. And I love Corbin on the video package saying, this is not my dream, it's just what I do. You know, because all the wrestlers, they talk, oh, it's my dream to work for WWE. Thank you, McMahons, for creating this wonderful world that I can wrestle and make my life worthwhile. And it just gets a little heavy-handed and sappy. And it's like, I mean, certain characters, it's, you know, Bailey, it makes sense. But, I mean, it's the whole cruiserweight. Oh, thank you. The cruiserweight tournament. And it was like, it seemed like, you know, a few too many wrestlers are like, oh, thanks to Triple H for making it possible. I was sleeping on the floor of my brother's house with three other people, and we all shared one paper cup, and then Triple H came along and changed my life. So I like Baron Corbin, you know, saying, hey, this isn't my dream, it's just what I do, and I'm good at it, and I'm going to make a lot of money. So, yeah, Corbin's great, and playing off of AJ could be a lot of fun.
Right, and also you bring that up with the cruiserweights, just sidebar, I mean, that's what makes Neville so refreshing. I mean, he's king of the cruiserweights and all that. It's just, I deserve to be here, and I deserve to be the man, et cetera. It's not just, like you just talked about, the underdog story for every single person. I mean, there's actually refreshing to see someone that actually just feels that they deserve to be there and that they're the man. So it's good.
Absolutely. Adam, thanks for calling.
All right, then. Wade, thank you for taking my call at the end. Appreciate it.
Excellent. You bet. All right. I got to wrap up on that note. We're past the 90-minute mark here. I got to go record my Wade Keller hotline, running down everything on SmackDown, and also talk about the Raw rating from last night that just came out, a little bit more about the JBL, Mauro Ranallo situation for VIP members. If you are not a VIP member, you can go VIP. We'd love to have you as a member, and you gain access to nearly 30 years of archives of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, my star ratings, match reviews, roundtable staff reviews of every major pay-per-view since the late 1980s, along with access to over a dozen VIP exclusive audio shows every week, which are available on popular podcast apps on iPhones and Android, along with streaming and downloading right from our mobile-friendly PW Torch Livecast website. We make it easy for you to access our VIP audio shows. Besides the more than 12 VIP audio shows a week that are exclusive, the live cast, in addition to those 12 plus shows, you also get the live cast with almost all the plugs and all the commercials edited out. So that streamlines the show. If you're a fan of the show, that alone might be worth the membership fee. So go check that out. Plus the PW Torch newsletter, digital edition, VIP exclusive articles, and so much more. Here are more details on going VIP. If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, Bruce Mitchell joins me for the midweek flagship. Got a lot to talk about, a lot to process after the last 48 hours. So join us then, either live if you can, or on demand on a podcast feed, or at pwtorchlivecast.com. Don't forget, you can support us when you're about to shop at Amazon. Go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. And then click on the link and you shop away right from the Amazon homepage. You're headed there anyway. But if you take that slight detour to pwtorch.com/Amazon, then we get a commission on everything you buy. You pay the same price, we get a little profit that would otherwise go to Amazon. So thanks to those of you who are already doing that. And we would love for those of you who shop Amazon to think of us every time. pwtorch.com/Amazon. And don't forget, the Loot Crate offer still stands. You're down about 8 days before the cutoff for the next Loot Crate box. Go to lootcrate.com and enter promo code PWTorch to save $3. And if you're interested in t-shirts, you can click the PW Torch t-shirt store link on the top of pwtorch.com in the red strip above our logo, or just go to pwtorchtees.com. That's pwtorchtees.com to look at four different colors and styles, including two different PW Torch Livecast t-shirts. Follow me on Twitter at The Wade Keller. Follow our brand at PW Torch. Follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. We got coverage of last weekend's UFC 210 over at MMATorch.com, roundtable discussions, exclusive columns, and the Daily News Digest. In one click, you can catch up on all the major news items and some miscellaneous stuff. We got an exclusive interview with Bellator fighter in today's Daily News Digest, along with some notes on some big names, including what might be next for Anderson Silva. So check that out every single day, MMATorch.com. And we're very excited about the relaunch of PWPodcast.com, the home for written reports, detailed written reports on what is being said and news that is being made on wrestling podcasts. Everything from Bruce Pritchard to Steve Austin to Chris Jericho to Jim Ross to Lillian Garcia and X-Pac, we aim to cover them all. We are adding correspondents every day, helping us fill out all the reports on all the podcasts that are out there. If you're interested in volunteering and helping us with that site, you can email pwtorchpodcasts@gmail.com. pwpodcasts@gmail.com. Maybe I said it right. Anyway, pwpodcasts@gmail.com is our email address if you're interested in helping out with the site. We also have highlights of wrestler interviews on other wrestling podcasts and mainstream media podcasts. If somebody makes news with a quote on a podcast, we are aiming to cover it. So anything wrestling podcast related, if you want to catch up on it, but you don't have time to listen to everything, or you want to try to figure out what's worth listening to, pwpodcasts.com is the place to go. New destination for deciding what you're going to listen to or just catching up on what you missed. We'd love to have you check that site out. Again, pwpodcasts.com. If you're looking for more content, not only did I have my Raw livecast last night with Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, joining me for the full show, nearly 2 hours, but also last Thursday, JTG from Crime Time. First time appearance on the livecast, really good interview, well over an hour of stories about his time in WWE, including the time that he was disgruntled getting attention from management. He wanted to talk to them about some issues, so he tweeted about it while he was at a Raw taping. And that got management's attention. They asked if he got hacked. They couldn't believe he had the balls to do that. He did it. He talked about it last Thursday on the show. Justin Roberts joins me on Thursday this week at 1 Eastern, ex-ring announcer. He was bullied by JBL. And then next week on 420, it'll be Matt McCarthy, ex-WWE creative team member, host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast. And he'll be on with me to talk about the superstar shakeup and the post-WrestleMania scenario. And it is always a blast having him on the program. He's worked in the trenches with Vince McMahon and the WWE creative process, and he continues to follow wrestling as close as anyone. So join us next Thursday for that also. That does it for me. Find out about upcoming shows and past livecasts at pwtorchlivecast.com. That does it for me. Until next time, Wade Keller thanking all our callers, thanking all our listeners, and signing off. Love.